Today on LSE Share Talk, we've got Dave Reeves, who's the CEO of Keras Resources. They've just received, just released their quarterly report. Dave, how are you?
Good morning, Rob. Okay, and yourself?
Yes, not too bad, thanks. Do you want to expand a bit on the quarterly report? Just give us the highlights and then talk us through a bit about it.
Yeah, sure. Look, obviously, it's our first quarter of operations, and I think it's fairly safe to say that we're not overly happy with how it turned out. We got off to a pretty good start in April. But May and June, unfortunately, we had a few teething problems, a lot of soul searching over that time, and a lot of changes being implemented for the current quarter. And you know, I suppose it's one of those things starting up in a new area in the time frame that we did. No excuses. We expected to turn a profit. We were profitable until we paid out the tribute amount. And there's lessons learned in that. But if we hit the highlights, 63,000 tons of ore mined at 1.36 grams. What I should mention as well is we talk about provisional grade a lot. And in previous podcasts, we've discussed the sampling procedure and there's months involved in getting it back. As we stand today, we've only had 7,000 tons of that 63,000 tons with a final determination of grade and recovery. The rest all is in process. We've had delays at the sample crusher, and then there's a long process to follow after that. So these are a combination of final determined grades or mine call grades that we've reduced based on experience on that first determination to try and give us our best approximation. So we will, as those come in, we will be able to give definitive grades on what we get paid on. But I think that's the first thing. All these numbers are based on provisional grades, which are not final definitive grades. 85% of them are based on our estimates. So if we have a look at that, yeah, we mined Anomaly 22 and Accord were the two pits. These are what we call laterite pits. So there was reasonably extensive historical drilling that we used to determine the pit areas. And then, obviously we had raised 500,000 pounds to start operations, and with that there were certain restrictions, one of which was we said, well, there's enough historical data, we won't go and redrill all of this ourselves. And I suppose that's lesson number one learnt, was historical data is pretty reasonable, but with the various data or datum changes and all the survey coordinates, the level of confidence has to be tempered. And so we started mining with historical information and doing our own grade control. And as we did our grade control, we found that there was, in some areas, less ore than was estimated from historical data. So our strip ratio went up. The way the ore bodies lied was not these big bulk ore bodies, they were more discrete ore bodies that needed to be taken meter flitches, so our productivity went down. You combine those two, and instantly you've got a cost increase. So lessons learned from that. So with Witchy Proof, as we've shown on previous Twitter, we're drilling that whole deposit before we fire our first shot in anger, and we'll be releasing those results. They're all in now. We'll release them once we've had a chance to compile and check the QAQC, so that when we go into a pit, we know the strip ratio, we know the grade, we're not relying on historic data. So that's first lesson learned. Second lesson, we talked about the productivity. That's a function of strip ratio and these 1 meter high benches. It's also a function of the digger size. The ore bodies we're moving into now are not these laterite ore bodies. They're more your conventional subvertical reef ore body. So it lets us get bigger diggers in to move waste, and we can go to 2, 2.5 meter benches. So instantly your productivity increases with the same amount of labor by bringing in a bigger digger. So that helps to reduce cost. If we have a look at the labor we employed when we set up, we were going into a bit of unknown territory, so we brought on operators that were multi-skilled. They could drive a dozer, be on a drill rig, what have you. And we paid a price for having that multi-skilling. We weren't paying truck driver rates for a truck driver. We were paying rates above that so that guy could also jump on a drill. What we found out with the cyclical nature of mining is that we can target specific jobs and as such pay for those specific jobs what we should pay, so that reduces your labor bill. And we're also contracting people direct, which saves markups from labor providers. So that again helps bring down the costs. I think one of the other main ones to look at is the fact that our operating costs pre the tribute were around that 1400 Aussie an ounce. We got paid 1687. So if we were doing a profit share, we would have been in profit. But with the tribute that we have at Grants Patch, we pay 22% of the gold straight up. And in a high margin, high grade underground, that's fine. But what we've learnt is that, if there's anything goes wrong in these lower margin pits, a profit share is certainly a lot less riskier way of mining. And so we're targeting those two tributes, which is the Witchy Proof and the Lindsay's tribute, because of that profit share. It considerably reduces our risks in the next quarter. Another key lesson learnt is on the milling. As I say, we still only have provisional grades for a lot of our product. It's very difficult to adapt your mining without understanding what you're doing grade-wise. So we're in discussion, certainly for Lindsay's. We'll be processing at a batch mill all of that material. What that means is we put all of our material through at once. The gold that comes out is ours. That's the grade. That's what you get paid on. And you know that within sort of a week of finishing milling. Whereas currently, we're experiencing timelines of up to 3 months before we get feedback on what the grade is. We do get advance payments as part of the current setup, but obviously, what we'd like to get is full payment as quick as we can. And that's what moving to a batch mill does for us there. So, yeah, I suppose that's in summary. We're off and running. Would have liked to have had better results than what we're showing today. But with the lessons learned, we're very confident about the current quarter. We also have made good progress on the undergrounds. We've just got the bulk sample approval for Prince of Wales. So we're just waiting on the safety permit now. And then that's open and away we go. The permits for some of the other, for the Parrot Feathers Underground and all the designs and costings are pretty well complete. We'll finalise the design and costing tomorrow on Parrot Feathers. And as and when we're ready, we'll put out some announcements on that showing profiles, costs, etc. And that's looking very good. So the long-term side, still looking very positive with the undergrounds. And in the short term, lessons learned, and we'll apply them this quarter to get a result that I hope everyone's going to be a lot happier with for this quarter.
Yeah, I think certainly last time I spoke to you said that quarter three's going to be a bigger quarter for you. I mean, certainly with Witchy Proof, and obviously you've experienced these problems. I mean, that you've only been in the gold game in Australia, I think, from well, not that long basically. So you've actually had a good opportunity to learn what to do and what not to do. I mean, certainly the issues with the mill, I can recall before they were you'd released a statement about improving the processing that was taking place here. So I'd quiz you about the logistics there. But Witchy Proof, just so I'm clear, that's not the same. We're not looking at the Paddington Mill, are we, for Witchy Proof? Or
Okay, well, look, there's various agreements. What I think need to understand is this area has a lot of transactions and mergers and acquisitions and sales and joint ventures and whatever over the years. And going back to a 1993 agreement between the then owners, Placer Dome and another tenement owner, Witchy Proof is not owned by Norton, so it's under a different tribute. It's with a private prospector, but they still have a right to look at milling Witchy Proof. And we're currently in discussions with Norton about that. There's various rights for each party, and we're trying to find common ground that works for all. And those discussions are ongoing. We hope to announce some clarity on that. But certainly, I can tell you that Lindsay's will be processed at a different mill. Witchy Proof, yeah, discussions, we'd hope to conclude in the next couple of weeks on exactly what's happening there. But our preference is to get it through a batch mill. It just gets us better feedback on grade and a lot quicker payment times.
Yeah, and certainly, like you said, with Lindsay, then the going forward, doing samples first is certainly going to be more helpful, I guess, rather than just relying on the historic data. So it should actually give you a good forecast of what you can expect to get going
Yeah,
forward.
100%. And that's, where we've been, without a doubt, a bit lax in the past on putting out production forecasts. And the main reason has been that, A, we've had very limited time to get on top of a lot of old historic data. B, it's the historic data, and how confident are we or not in that? So with the open pits, there's a bit of hand to mouth. We'll drill it out in front. We'll be able to put good targets on once we've drilled it out. For the undergrounds, they're drilled pretty well already, so we can provide good targets on that. But the open pits, because they're small pits drilled to a certain degree, and there's more variability in these open pits, we do need to drill them first. And as we drill them, as I said, we'll announce the Witchy Proof grade control results shortly, and what that means. There's some really nice numbers in there, but we now need to run it through, re-optimize it, redesign it based on those numbers and based on the revised operating plan, and then we can put out some pretty solid numbers.
Yeah, and from the report as well. Again, I guess with Witchy Proof, you talk about the different trucks, and you send a different strategy. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, one of the things we found in those 2 months where we didn't do so well, we kicked off at 1,200 ounces in the first month. And then we only did that in the next 2 months thereafter, basically. And what a lot of, well, some of that was certainly wet weather. If you have a look online, you'll find that the West Australian wheat crop is looking at a record season for all records this year, because there's been bumper winter rains, and that rain, it goes out to Kalgoorlie region. So we've had a lot of downtime with well above average rainfall. It doesn't require a lot, and those areas turn to mud, as some of the photos I've shown in the past are. And so we're looking at, or we are changing to six-wheelers. They can run in the rain a lot more, so we're not just sitting there paying people to sit and do nothing. We'll always be getting productivity. So it's those little lessons, those little bits, one plus one plus one, and before you know it, they make quite a substantial difference.
Yeah, and you've also, I mean, you say there's little differences. So you have actually mentioned in the report the little difference. I mean, for example, the labour being on site or close to accommodating things like that. So I guess effectively you are looking at where you can reduce the cost, changing the labour style. So it's like you said, not multi-skilled people, but more people contracted for the role they're going to do if they're going to drive that truck. So, I mean, for me, well, at least one of the things I'm taking from this is that you've had a bit of a tough quarter, but if anything, I mean, it should hopefully give you the lessons that you need to with the other projects. With the other projects, though, because you mentioned the money in the bank, are you confident or happy with how things are going and progressing at the moment?
Yeah, sure. Look, we need to hit our goals for this quarter and be making money. And as soon as you're making money, everything becomes a lot easier. As I said, the undergrounds, we're finalising absolute detail designs, etc. Now, before we've had broad designs, we're now into the weekly schedule style of costings. And what we need to do is just adapt those into our cash position, and work out how best to run things. You don't, another lesson learnt is we don't want to do too much at once. And so it's a matter of saying, well, okay, do we slow down one? Not saying do we not do it, but do we slow down one area to make sure we get one area up and running well before the other, or how do we do that? And those are discussions that we're doing at the moment. And as I say, once we've finalised those designs, we'll release to market a full ramp-up schedule. Targets are still in place, the 30,000 ounces run rate by mid next year. That all looks good. We do mention in there that we continue to look at other projects, and that's always ongoing. There's lots of activity in gold at the moment, and obviously the gold price during the quarter has gone up. If you have a look at it at the moment, our average price received was 1,687, and the gold price is sitting between the 1,750 and 1,800 at the moment. So everything's positive in that regards for the quarter. Higher gold price, lower operating inputs, higher grade pits. You add them together, and that's why we're a lot well. We're optimistic for this quarter and confident about hitting our targets for this quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a key thing then as well. Also, the higher grades will certainly be more helpful. And was sort of your strategy. I can remember a presentation when you did back in Warsaw, and you were talking about the different projects that you had, and certainly Lindsay, Prince of Wales, and stuff like that. That's to me, that's what seemed more appealing. And at least, I guess you're getting your feet wet with the last two pits. To see what you how you're going to actually complete your strategy. With the final grades, you mentioned we're going to find out that at some point. You don't have a time scale or anything like that. We're just still waiting, I guess. It could be a few weeks, a few
Yeah,
months.
see, look, I mean, let me give you an example. There's a batch that was pretty well finally determined, but then when you do these batches, you put in standards, which are known grade material that you can check the calibration of the instrument that's assaying for gold. And what we found was that two of the 10 standards failed. And as such, we now need to reassay that. So what should have been another determined batch is still awaiting reassay, and we've then got to do the QA, QC on that, etc. So to give a specific time frame, the one thing we've learned is that there's a process to follow to get it right. And sometimes that process needs to be checked and then rechecked if there's glitches that appear in the process. And that's what the QA QC is about.
Yeah, fair enough. What about I see one of the statements about the Prince of Wales, the bulk samples approvals received. That's going to be something coming up fairly soon. I mean, well, basically, you've got a quarter, which I'm guessing is going to be full of lots of information coming through to us. Those invested, obviously, like I said, tough quarter, but higher grades to come and more news and the lessons that you're going to apply with it. You did mention one statement about Tongo in there.
Togo, yep. We still awaiting award, but we've been having some positive discussions, and that's been a long journey so far. But just highlighting that it's not forgotten in any way, shape, or form, and discussions continue, and there's good noises coming out of Togo, but proof's in the pudding. We need to get that in our hands. But there is positive action on the ground there.
Okay, but more of a focus in the gold at the moment, I guess.
Oh, look, we're 100% focused. The thing we have to do is get positive in our cash flow. That is the single biggest burning issue for us. Next is to get those undergrounds up and running. They're our real cash generators and a backbone going forward. Togo is, we continue to have those discussions, but we need to get what we're doing right. And then we can start to look further afield.
Okay, and you're still a big. I think you're probably the biggest shareholder at the moment. Is that all right?
Yeah, certainly am. And look, I'm obviously very positive about the future. I know it is a disappointing first quarter, but very optimistic about what we've got coming up, where we're heading, and see good value ahead. So, I'm comfortable longer term. Disappointed, we've put in the team here has put in a hell of a lot of effort to get where we got to. So it's disappointing not to make money after some, Herculean efforts by everyone on site and elsewhere. But optimistic for the future.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I think some shareholders can take a little bit of comfort in the fact that obviously, you, as the biggest shareholder, you feel the same pain as them, really.
I feel I would think further pain. None of us like to disappoint, be it the market or friends and family that are invested. It's not a good feeling. So, we take it pretty personally when we don't deliver. And then obviously, I've got a lot at stake as well. So add that together, and certainly, I think I have probably ridden a fairly large emotional roller coaster over the last month or two as we try and work out what's happening. But certainly positive for the future though. So lessons learned.
Well, that's good. I mean, like you said, this is the big quarter basically coming up now, so it's going to be full of activity. Dave, thanks for taking the time to have a chat with us and go through the quarterly report. Like I said, we'll always be in touch, and we'll wait to hear the next bit of news that comes through.
Fantastic. Much appreciated. Thanks, Rob.
No problem, Dave.
Cheers.